You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today I'm chatting with Mike Capuzzi. Now, as I was getting ready for this, I had this song in the back of my head. You may know it if you're an Elvis Presley fan. It's All Shook Up. Now, you may be wondering why that song. Well, it has to do with our topic of today, shooks. So we won't be talking about Elvis, but we will be talking about shooks. And in a moment, you'll find out what that word means. But first, I want to tell you about how I first became aware of Mike, because back in the days that I was hanging around the Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer world, Bill talked about something called copy doodles. And I was like, what the heck is that? And I went, and I don't remember if it was a brochure. I think it was a brochure or one sheet or something that got handed out at some event I was at. And it was the most amazing thing, because I had seen on sales letters, you know, this sort of like handwritten doodles on the sides of things. And I thought, I should figure out how to do that someday. Well, it turns out that somebody figured that out for me. And that somebody was Mike Capuzzi. So that's how I first got introduced to you, Mike. And I'm so thankful that we finally, after many years, have the chance to actually chat. Welcome. Well,
I appreciate it, David. And I'm also a fan of your books. So this is a kind of a reunion of sorts. So I do appreciate it. And by the way, I thought you did didn't you promise me you were going to sing the Elvis song when you did the intro?
You know, I think none of our listeners know this, but I did appear on Broadway, but I was really a dancer, not a singer. So let's not do that, shall we?
And that was a cool intro, though. Now you got me thinking I might have to license that song or something. Yeah, right.
Indeed. Anyway, maybe we chat just for a moment about the copy doodles part of your life. And I know that's still going on. So but that's what introduced me to your work. And you know, I mentioned that it was in the context of a community that I think you were much more active in than I was, but that probably is a great way for somebody like you to make the connections that you've made to build your empire over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it was 15 years ago, David, where I launched Copy Doodles, and I won't go into all the details, but suffice it to say, Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy were instrumental. I was at the time in Bill Glazer's mastermind group, and Dan caught wind of Copy Doodles. Bill obviously did, and it just took off. I mean, this was back when almost every issue of the newsletter they were both publishing had a mention of Copy Doodles, and it just took off. And, you know, 15 years later, while it's a much smaller part of my business, it's still there and people are still members. And yeah, it still helps people with the little hand-drawn doodles.
Yeah, I love it. It's a really cool resource, and so I'm grateful that it put your name in my mind for the first place. And so when I saw that you know, you were available to chat for today's conversation, I was like, I know him, but we're going to be talking about a very different context, and we'll get back to that Elvis song, All Shook Up. Now, that's a word that sort of seems a little bit odd in the context of marketing, but you specialize in helping people create something that you have dubbed shooks. What the heck is a shook?
Well, it, you know, kind of ties in even to the copy doodle story, David. So you and I are both marketing students of marketing. So we both understand and know the power of differentiation. And most business owners are in a business where there's competition. So it's even more critical that you differentiate yourself. You know, that was the cool thing about copy doodles. It made, you know, what typically was boring, typical marketing look a little more personalized because it had the element of handwriting. It made it stand out more. Well, a shook, which stands for short, helpful book, that's what a shook is, a short, helpful book, is my brand of nonfiction business books that business owners, CEOs, et cetera, coaches, et cetera, write to differentiate themselves in their business. So it's a direct response type of book. We have a very specific formula we can talk about if you'd like, but it's a book that's meant to be read in about an hour, David. So it's great for readers. They can get on a plane in New York, and by the time they're in Chicago, they're done the book and they have the grasp of the book.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
And for our authors, because we're publishing these for our clients, it's a lot quicker, a lot faster to write. So yeah, Ashok is, you know, you got Big Macs, you got Whoppers, same thing. They're hamburgers, but they're two different brands. Ashok is my brand of nonfiction business book.
Yeah, I love that. And as you and I were talking about before we hit record, reading short books is actually a lot more appealing to me, right? Because I can get in, I can get out, I can get the point. In fact, I run a group with marketing agencies where we talk about book summaries, right? So all of the big intimidating business books that people ought to at least know sort of the highlights of, well, we figured out a way to get that information in front of them. But the big 300, 400, or I was looking at, Who's the biographer of like great presidents and American figures, David McCullough. I was looking at one of his books and thinking, I really want to read that. I want to learn about Harry Truman, but that's just an intimidating length. I can't possibly invest the time in it, right? But there's a lot of value that can be wrapped inside of, you know, fewer than 100 pages. So what is it that you're sort of suggesting somebody use a shorter, helpful book to accomplish?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm also speaking to someone who has, you know, your books are essentially shorter books. So you get it yourself. I mean, aside from just enabling readers to read it and complete it, which gives them a sense of accomplishment, it's not just sitting on their bookshelf going unread. You know, the way I sort of position it, David, is if you could have a 1 hour conversation with your ideal prospect or ideal reader in this case, and share, you know, whatever is the very focused topic of your shook, could that help you? Could it help the reader? The answer is yes. Could it help you, the author? And the answer is yes. So it's, the idea is, it's not meant to be the A to Z tome, the A to Z encyclopedia. That has its place further down the sales process, in my opinion. But if you're looking to differentiate yourself, offer helpful information in the form of a book on the front end of the marketing, timeline, then why not a shorter book? It's not a report, so it has more value. It looks like a real book. I mean, these are real books, but it's not as intimidating as your traditional 300, 400 page book, which these days I would be surprised if anybody's getting through, honestly.
Right. Right. I have one of the ones that you have helped a client work on. And I remember the process by which this ended up coming from the business to me. And in this case, it was sort of like what a lot of websites will do, is just have a pop-up offering. You mentioned a free report, or join our newsletter, or get, you know, download this coupon. But in this case, it was saying, we'd like to send you a physical book at our cost to inform you of something. Tell me a little bit about that, sort of the process by which, you know, these get used. And I'm sure that that's only one of many different ways that they can be, you know, put into people's hands.
Yeah. I mean, what's cool about the book that you're referencing there, that's for a mattress retailer, an independent mattress retailer, like Main Street America. You know, not some big time info marketer or, you know, public figure, a local bricks and mortar business owner who's using the power of a printed book to differentiate his business. So being a student of marketing, David, I've gone back as far back as the late 1890s, so like two centuries ago, where they used a free book as a strategy to help people with their product, which ironically was in the mattress space again. It was a mattress manufacturing company who published a book called, I think it was called The Test of Time. Anyway, late 1890s, early 1900s, their advertising, David, all it did was feature the book, Get Our Book, where it described their benefits to their mattress. So this is nothing new. I mean, in these days, I still see free books offered on television. Mm-hmm. I still see them on Facebook just about every day. So the idea of having a, you know, quote, free book marketing offer as part of a funnel is something that's been around for over 100 years. It still works. And you know, these days it's sort of moved online, but yeah, the bricks and mortar guy that you mentioned, Jeff, people come into their store, they pick it up, they'll mail it to people. I don't know if you know this, David, but Jeff just did his business. They just did a 30-minute infomercial. Maybe it's like a 22-minute one. They did a real infomercial, and throughout the infomercial, the actress was offering the book as one of the calls to action in the infomercial.
That's crazy. By the way, this business is probably the most innovative in that space, which is which is really cool. And there's lots to study there. And maybe we'll get Jeff on the show someday as well. But the mechanism of the book is super cool in sort of moving people, and the fact that like they're using it in infomercial and they're using it on their website and they're using it as a giveaway in the store. It's obviously getting into people's hands in many different ways. But there's got to be something to the structure, the content of the book that is obviously moving people to whatever the next step is. So you alluded to sort of a structure that you'd like to follow before. Why don't you sort of walk us through that?
Yeah. So again, student of direct response marketing for 20 years now. And when I really honed in this recipe, so I'm going to come from an Italian family, so I got to call it a recipe. So many book authors, nonfiction, business-oriented book authors, make the mistake of essentially just kind of dumping a lot of information on the reader and leaving it up to the reader to decide what to do next. How do I get more information? How do I get him or her, the author, to help me, et cetera? And that's a huge mistake, in my opinion. Whereas Ashok, I literally looked at it and developed it, much like I did CopyDoodles 15 years ago. I just kind of reverse engineered stuff and said, well, you know, what flow of the book would make for useful content for the reader, because that's critical, right? I do want people to read our shooks and our clients' shooks. I don't subscribe to the notion it doesn't matter if they read it. I want them to read it. But also, how can we wrap that, David, with good direct response techniques, calls to action, helpful information, ways to get more information depending on how interested they're in, different types of copywriting techniques that we embed into the shook. So there's 20 plus years of direct response know-how that we put into these things, including the design. So our shooks are a little bit smaller, everything from, and I know you're going to make, I'll make your eyes go crossed here, but everything from our font choices to our spacing, there's a lot of thought that goes into to make it readable, to make it enjoyable, and then to give interested readers a path forward, the next step, as you said.
So, you know, some people I hear will complain about a book saying I picked this up and all it was, you know, a pitch fest or, you know, a sales letter in disguise. And in fact, that's what I think these are. The role of these tends to be. But you said that there's got to be something useful, some good information, something valuable. I remember, you know, learning this lesson from the copywriting genius, Gary Bensonvenga, who would always talk about there's got to be something of value even in the promotional material that people are appreciating. Oh, I just learned something. So what sorts of things do you suggest go into the books to create value?
Yeah, that's a great question, first of all. And that's why when I came up with this concept of a shook, I used to say shook just stood for a short book. But then I realized, no, the short helpful. It has to be helpful, David, so that it combats and it doesn't fall into the category of that kind of crap marketing, if you will. So one of the things that I do with all of my shooks, I encourage all of our clients to do, is right up in the very, very first chapter or so. I don't know if people all, you know, be seeing it, but essentially we have the very first chapter, who should read this book? Mm-hmm. So right up very front, David, we're saying, listen, here's who should read this book. And being very up, and who's here's who, you know, who should not spend the time reading it, but also being very upfront and saying, listen, I'm going to give you helpful information, but I'm also going to give you other opportunities so we can get to know each other better in the future. So I'm being very transparent. It's funny, even on my Amazon reviews, and like for that particular book, the 100-page book, I've got over 200 reviews. It's funny to see people say, great book. He's selling in it, but it's a great book. I found a lot of value out of it. Well, duh, you know, I'm not, this is not my life work here. It's meant to be a book to attract clients. So yeah, it's being honest, transparent, laying the groundwork, laying the foundation, and then obviously also having a good chunk of helpful content.
Okay. So I assume that there's some guideline with this helpful content. And so maybe it has to do with the type of business, or it has to do with the goals that, you know, they've identified that people at whatever stage of the buying process are. Can we dig into this a little bit more? Because I think this sort of, and maybe this is your secret sauce, or your what do you call it on Sunday nights in the Italian tradition?
It's Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner, right? So I was going to say your secret Sunday dinner, right? Sauce. So I don't want to give too much away here, but there's probably, you know, some guidance that you can offer us in terms of.
It's a great question, yeah. By the way. I haven't had that question before. So it's a very good question.
And I go off script, by the way. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, the best answer I can give is it's unique to the author that we're working with, whether it's myself or a client. So I don't mean to shrug off your question, but one of the cool things about what we do is I work directly with every one of our publishing clients. I just had a call this morning with a brand new client. And he, by the way, another Kennedy student, and he just loved the fact that I completely unpacked an idea he hadn't even considered. So how the helpful content is laid out, David, really depends on the client, you know, what his or her goals are. And like you said, even like who the reader is he or she is targeting. So the best I can offer there is it is unique. That part is not cookie cutter. It really depends on what we're trying to accomplish with the book. So for example, this gentleman this morning, he's trying to offer a membership opportunity on the back end of it. Therefore, the structure of the main content is a little more opportunity oriented about, you know, achieving certain goals that he can help people achieve through his membership. Whereas like Jeff's shook is more about teaching them specific skills about how to sleep better. So it really depends. The only thing I will say is we typically try to chunk it into 5 to 7 main topics, David. Again, we're talking about a 100-page book here, a 1-hour read. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have 25 chapters on the content. It's 5 to 7 typically things that we're, you know, discussing. That's the main matter.
And I guess I jumped the gun here because I was thinking about the context in which these are used. And because I've only really considered examples of Main Street businesses, whether it's a service business or a retail business, I hadn't really thought about the other things like a membership or somebody who's a professional speaker looking to get speaking gigs, or, you know, I don't know why you might have a CEO, and maybe you can explain this, right? Utilize shooks, but there's lots of different outcomes that somebody might want. And so I imagine that that's probably an area that we should explore for a moment.
Sure. I mean, listen, the CEOs that we've worked with, it's really a positioning tool. So rather than invest a year or two to do a traditional book, which may be the right thing eventually for them, it's, you know, about, hey, how can I get something done in the next 8 to 12 weeks that is a quality book that is short, and it's short on purpose, that I can get out and be able to hand out. You know, we've had folks that are being, you know, going to be speaking at an event, and they wanted something to hand out at the event. We've had, you know, folks, CEO level type folks, that have wanted to put together, you know, to use our friend Dan Kennedy's vernacular, a shock and awe package, mm-hmm. you know, a big package of information built around a book. So there's different reasons again, but it really depends on what the person's trying to achieve.
So I'm curious, because you've worked with lots of different clients, lots of different angles. What are some of the more unusual or outlandish either subjects or projects that you've worked on that, you know, we wouldn't expect? Because I can think of, you know, why a financial advisor or a dentist might have a book, but I imagine that there's some things out there that are a little less common.
Yes and no. I mean, we're pretty mainstream, but I'm looking over at our client library over here. So I can give you a couple quick ideas or sure. examples. And the first one is going to be my daughter. So I love telling this story. My daughter, who's now a senior in college, 4 years ago when she was a senior in high school, she was going to her senior of high school right about 4 years ago from the time you and I are recording this. We came up with the idea it was a summer project. So I said, we had just rescued our first dog. She was working at a local vet's office, veterinarian's office. And I said, why don't we do a book about dog rescues? So that was literally on like July 4th weekend in 2018. And by Labor Day, David, which was what, 2.5-3 months later, she had a completed book. It was a compilation book. So instead of writing the entire thing herself, she wrote a chapter and 25 other people contributed chapters. So it was 26 chapters from 26 dog rescue owners. She raised $6,000. So all the money that we gathered by selling the book, by the people who contributed, raised $6,000, which she donated. And then what was really cool was she got a ton of local publicity. And that all helped her. We didn't design it this way, but it all helped her when it came time to apply to college as a way to differentiate herself. So mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. I just saw on the news yesterday, the Guinness World Book of Records just announced the youngest author was 5 years old. I was going to send that to my daughter. My daughter was 17 when she did it. But, you know, it just shows you how a high school student can leverage. Real other quick story, and again, it's a compilation book. Compilation book basically, again, means there's contributors. Mm-hmm. But one of our clients who's now working on his fifth Shook is a fighter pilot in the Air Force. And he's done a compilation book with other fighter pilots. And it's a book that's meant to inspire the next generation of fighter pilots. What better way to do that than through a number of fighter pilot stories? And the other cool thing about that, David, he too is using that Shook to raise tens of thousands of dollars for a childhood cancer foundation that's near and dear to his heart. So just, you know, those are two non-traditional examples of how people are using our Shooks to do some cool stuff.
But I love both of these examples because, you know, again, I came to this through the examples that I've seen of a traditional business trying to get somebody to move down the funnel and ultimately give them money in exchange for a product or a service. But these two examples are either charities or causes. And I think that's one thing that I will always, you know, go to a nonprofit person who tells me, oh, I'm in the nonprofit world, it's different. And I'm saying, no, actually it's not. Well, you've just pointed out, you know, that I've overlooked an opportunity for nonprofits that is so different from the annual appeal letter or the traditional thing that they're doing.
So I got to jump into a real quick story because I forgot about this. In 2008, David, I was working very closely with a local nonprofit. You know, you mentioned I had the Dan Kennedy, Bill Clazer chapter here in the Philadelphia area. That chapter, I grew it to be one of the most successful chapters in the country. But one of the things that we did was very cool. We adopted as a group, you know, every month local business came together and I taught marketing. We adopted this local nonprofit, and it was a nonprofit that helped disadvantaged high school kids get into college. Okay. Well, one of the things we did, and I helped them with, is we developed, at the time I didn't call it a Shook, but we developed a Shook for them. And all we did was we had a bunch of the kids write a one-page small little letter about the impact of the organization on their lives. And we put the letter, each letter as a page in the book. And we sent that book out. They printed it up. They sent it out. And I still have the testimonial somewhere, the director of the nonprofit. That campaign, which the book was a part of, raised over $100,000 for that organization. Mm. And she said it was the most... She had a press release. She sent out the newspaper. It was the most successful campaign, again, built around this short book, because we sent the book out. People looked at it. It struck their heart. And it was very successful for that group.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So this is clearly not sort of a big investment of time for somebody to get involved the way that, you know, the longer books, the your memoir, the bigger, I'm thinking like, you know, the Forbes books or those companies that help you write a book. So what is the experience that the folks that you're supporting, could expect to go through if you know they went down the path that you offer?
Well, it is an A to Z process. So from inception and idea to printed book in about 8 to 12 weeks, you know, it's working directly with me. That's how we do it. I'm at a phase in my life where I just want to do stuff I want to do. This is what I like to do. And everything else, even like copy doodles, which I love, I don't focus on really much at all. So it's what you and I are doing. There's a series of step-by-step modules, like an online program where they go through it. Then he or she gets on a Zoom with me. We unpack that section. We can move to the next section. So it's literally step-by-step, David. And it's very powerful because they're getting my experience. They're getting my input. And I take this stuff serious. So we're diving deep and figuring this stuff out. And at the end of it all, it's really then focuses more to about how they use it in their business. So it's a complete package.
And I'm assuming, I mean, you have a similar look to a lot of the books that are at least behind you there, that you have sort of go-to resources for getting things, you know, printed.
All my shooks back there. Uh-huh. So those are just some of mine. But we have some of our authors just need printed books. So we just print the books for them, high quality. Some of our authors need to be on Amazon and online, so then they use those services to print the books. But yeah, we have it. It's templatized, so every shook looks like a shook. We don't deviate from that, and I refuse to deviate from it. So it's part of our special sauce.
So you have a book. Then you mentioned Amazon, and this is a bestseller on Amazon that you mentioned a few minutes ago. The 100-page book. What is that all about, and what if folks were to dive into it, would they learn from it?
So the 100-page book was actually an experiment. It was actually a marketing experiment, David. So for the most part, I've been writing books since 2007. I've always sort of poo-pooed the Amazon bestseller thing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's sort of ubiquitous, and there's so many different ways to sort of game in the system.
Hey, that's a secret for those of us in the know.
So I finally occurred to me, I said, why don't I see if I could really study this and study how Amazon legitimately puts a quality book as a number one bestseller. So I did a sort of PhD level study of it, and the outcome of that, probably it was like a 3-month study, was the 100-page book. So this was an experiment to see if I could publish publish an Amazon number one bestseller. I'm happy to say it was an Amazon number one bestseller for about 8 months. It still bips in and out from time to time, both in print and in digital format and in legitimate categories. Mm-hmm. I just saw a book, real quick story. I just saw a book being advertised on Facebook. It intrigued me. So I clicked on the link, and then I went to the Amazon page, and it said it was a number one bestseller. Now, this is a business book, right? Mm-hmm. The category it was a bestseller in was child. It was like a child space, like child playbooks or something, or, yeah, you know, coloring book or some obscure thing that they threw it in just to achieve that. That's not what we're talking about here. So the 100-page book is about how to write a 100-page book. And it was also an experiment for me to see, can we figure out how to truly become a bestseller on Amazon? And, you know, we've sold, I'm not sure if it's tens of thousands, but it's literally thousands of copies of it because of it.
So I understand that that's available on Amazon, but I hear that there's another place where people could get it.
Yeah. Your listeners can get it for free. They can read it for free. How's that?
That's awesome, because I've read it and the stuff in there is truly valuable. So how, pray tell, can they get at their hands on that? Or I guess their virtual hands on that, I should say.
Well, it's actually a very cool format that they can read on their phone. I do read Kindle books, but this is a format that I love because I can read it on my phone or whatever device I'm on. So they can read the most current version. You probably don't even have the most current version, David. I do update these from time to time as more results come in or I feel like there's certain tweaks. So there is a brand new version, 100-page book, which your listeners can get. Plus, I call it my quick start guide, which is even a shorter book, which gives like the pure essence of a shook. But yeah, if they go to mikecapuzzi.com/gifts, that's plural, G-I-F-T-S, they can, get access to the 100-page book and the quick start guide.
That's awesome. I will make sure to put the link in there in the show notes as well, but it is mikecapuzzi.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, like Sam or like Shook. That's great. I have actually seen the latest version in the flip format that you were mentioning. And I saw that on Amazon, you have very smartly written updated for 2022, which was also probably a smart marketing device of yours as well. So clearly you got a lot of experience in that head of yours and those who decide to pursue working with you can benefit from all of it. So
well, I appreciate that, David. Thank you.
Yeah. Mike Capuzzi, thank you so very much for hanging out. It's just been a pleasure chatting with you and learning a little bit more about how you approach things and I must say, incredibly creatively. And I'm going to encourage folks to grab both those gifts from you. We'll make sure to leave the links.
David, thank you very much.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us. And if you like the show, please let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may be listening. And please, by all means, share it with a friend or somebody you know who could benefit from listening as well. Until then, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.